If you would open up your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, I almost said Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, if you don't have a Bible, we've got some available for you at the end of your rows, and that's our gift to you. Mark chapter 4 is where we're going to be at today. We're walking through as a church the gospel according to Mark, verse by verse, so we don't miss anything, and we are seeing and studying the life and ministry of Jesus. Jesus calls us to follow Him. Amen. He calls us to follow Him. That's a call on our lives. It's a life that honors Him, that imitates Him, and that points others to Him. It's a life of obedience, right? That's what it is. It's a life of obedience. And we've been walking through Mark, and we've seen Jesus do what He came to do. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, and He teaches on His way to the cross. He teaches with authority. We've seen Him do that. We've seen Him cast out demons. He shows His power, and He gives evidence that He is the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the Christ, and He's God. He's God. And we see Jesus call others to turn to Him and to follow Him. That's a call that's still there for us today. Jesus really begins His earthly ministry, and He says this in Mark chapter 1, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus later will say, "Guys, I want you to follow me," right? Follow me. He says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And then He says, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." All right, let's try that again. "I'll make you become fishers of men." All right. I don't know whoever gets a sticker. Somebody got that one. Was that you, Carla, or was it you, Connie? Somebody gets a sticker. All right. But fishers of men. Calls us to be fishers of men. Now I don't know where I'm at. All right. And He says that we're to become fishers of men. When we meet Jesus, church, when we see Jesus, when we hear from Jesus, we have to respond to Jesus. We're going to talk about that today, the response to Jesus and the gospel. He's saying to them, and He's saying to us, He's saying, "Turn from everything and turn to me," right? "Believe in me and believe in the gospel that I'm bringing. Believe that in the truth that I'm sharing. Believe that I am the Savior." So when He says, "Follow me," there's that call to be with Him, to learn from Him, to imitate Him, and then be used by Him. We looked at that a couple weeks ago, to be sent out by Jesus. That is what the life of a Jesus follower is. That's what the life of a true Christian looks like. Somewhere along the line, many have bought into the lie that Christianity means that, hey, we're gonna go to church every now and then, right? If somebody were to ask me if I was a Christian or what religion I was, I'm going to throw out the Christian thing, right? We might have a Bible somewhere in our home. In fact, if we're extra spiritual, we'll have it in the back so people can see it, like on the back part of you with me, like people can see it in your car, right? And in days we want to look like a Christian, we'll look like a Christian. In days we don't, we don't. And then one day at the end of our lives, we sit there with our fingers crossed and we ask other people to cross their fingers as well. Just, "I hope I did enough to get into heaven." And that's how many people live their life when they say that they're a Christian. And so we want to look differently. We really want to believe in Him and follow Him and imitate Him and be used by Him. Jesus says, when we look at Christianity in that way, He's really saying, "That's not it at all. I'm calling you to a new life." He's not even saying, "I'm calling you to a changed life." He says, "I'm calling you to a new life. A life that's spent with me," Jesus says. "A life lived for me and a life that points others to me." That's what that looks like to follow Christ. And all of that is important. All that we just walked through is important because what Jesus is going to teach us today in Mark chapter 4. Ever since Jesus came on the scene, we've seen people flock to Jesus. We've seen groups of people and then very large groups flock to Jesus. We've seen people do that ever since. He's famous, right? The story of Him and who He is spreading. And so people are following Him. People, the Bible says, are amazed by Him. And some, as we've been talking throughout this study, some follow Him. They drop everything and they follow Jesus. They're all in, we like to say. I'm all in, right? Some are along for the ride. You know, they just want to see the next show He's going to do or the miracle He's going to do. How can they benefit from Him? Some are still seeking and trying to figure out who Jesus is. Some don't really care what Jesus is actually saying or doing. They just want to be there with everybody else. And then we have some that would even be more extreme, and they are following Him only to, like the Pharisees, to accuse Him and trap Him and deter others from following Him. And actually, as we look back at a few weeks ago, they're actually plotting, the Bible says, to destroy Him, planning to destroy Him. Here's what Jesus sees. Here's a great thing about Jesus. He sees our hearts, right? We can put on whatever smile we want. Our leadership team just went out and took pictures, right? We can smile all we want, but Jesus sees our hearts. He knows what's going on inside of us. And what he sees here is there are some in this crowd that are truly followers of Jesus. And there are some that are not. When Jesus teaches, some hear his voice, but they don't listen. They're not taking it in. Some are hearing and listening, and they're soaking it in. And Jesus is going to talk about that in our text. My wife, Jessica, and I have had many times where we're sitting in the same room and we're trying to have a conversation and talking, and something is on our mind, right? You're there and something's on our mind, or we're distracted by something and we hear each other's voices but not actually hearing what they're saying, right? Are you guys with me? I'm the only one, right? So like you're just in the same room but stuff is going on, and so you men, let me help you out here real quick. You know you're in trouble, men, when you are having a conversation with your wife or your wife is talking. And at the end of what she's saying, she says, "So what do you want to do?" Right? Or, "So what do you think about that?" Or, "Here's the kicker, so how much should we spend?" Or something like that, you know? And so it's like, wait a minute. And then that's where you really have to say, "Baby, I love you. I'm so sorry. Could you repeat everything you just said?" Right? Are you guys with me? All right. I got a couple of you. All right. So listening is one thing, but listening to hear, I think that's a public confession right here. I think we just did that. All right. Oh, it happened last week. Okay. We're editing that out. Okay, Chris, cut that out, man. All right. So, listening's important, right? Listening is important. People matter, right? We need to listen to what they're saying. But Jesus is saying here, it's important to listen. And he says that throughout. When we read through this text, listen to how many times he says listen, right? It's important. Jesus wants us to listen, not just to hear their voices, but to hear. I remember not long after I got into, I hadn't been a pastor very long, and we had a friend named Shauna, and love her dearly, and that gal, I would lose attention real quick, because she'd start here and kind of travel all the way around here, but you had to listen the entire time, or otherwise you couldn't help, you get what I'm saying? Like, so she really helped, didn't she? She helped me listen. And so we're going to listen today, church. Jesus wants us to hear him, and so let's listen this morning. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He began to teach again, Jesus did, again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away." Verse 7. "Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he's saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, the crowd had gone. His followers were still there. His followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." He's going to explain what he had just told them. "The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which had been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones of whom seed was sown in the rocky places, who when they heard the word, they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones of whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Verse 20. "And those are the ones of whom seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the people that are gathered here today. God, we pray, Lord, that as we walk through the book of Mark, that you would just, if we know you, God, you would just change us. That we would see you and we would respond to you and your word to become more like you. God, if there's people here today that just have not made that decision for whatever reason to follow Christ, we pray today that that would happen. They would give their life to Jesus today and begin following Jesus. And so, God, we ask all that in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. This section of Scripture is often referred to as the parable of the sowers. Other times it's referred to as the parable of the soil. And the latter makes the most sense because the truth and the reality and the focus that Jesus is wanting to get across here, as we're going to see, is really focusing on the soil. Last week we saw Jesus make a point, and he's teaching, right? Remember we talked about the unforgivable, the unpardonable sin, and Jesus began in Mark for the first time using a parable. And so he uses two parables. In fact, Jesus in his ministry, when he teaches, 30 to 35% of Jesus' teachings are going to be in parables. So parables are used to help the person that's listening, right? It helps them relate to what Jesus is teaching them. Parables are meant to cause the hearer to think and to contemplate, right? He uses everyday objects. He uses everyday events and circumstances that these people would understand so that he could teach them, right? We do that. We use illustrations and we talk about things and then we put a biblical truth to that, right? Or vice versa. And so that's what he's doing. Jesus is using a parable to teach. And verse 1 says, it says that he began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him, and he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. So Jesus is again what? He's teaching, right? He's teaching. He would go to the shore so that the larger crowds could gather around him, and they could gather better, and he can have more people. And there's actually something, I don't know anything about this, maybe Mike knows about this, but I guess noise travels on water better, and so there's that whole acoustic side of things where people could hear him better. Instead of gathering inside of a home or a house or something, they would gather at they would gather at the shore. And it got so big, Jesus needed to step back, and he sat down in the boat and began to teach. And he begins by saying, so we're going to walk through this first part of this parable, the story about the sower. The sower is like a farmer. And he says this in verse 3, listen to this. Right? This is Jesus saying, all Scripture is important, everything I say, but don't miss this. This is kind of what Jesus is saying. You need to hear me clearly. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. So Jesus is about to tell a story, a parable, in a way that they can understand. He's about to talk about a farmer out spreading seed everywhere. He's planting seed. And so these guys, they would reach down into their pouch, and they would do what they call broadcast sowing. That's what they would do. They would reach in, and they would just kind of toss it. Are you guys with me? All right, I'm just going to keep doing it, right? So they're out broadcast sowing. That's what they would do. They would grab the seed and just toss the seed everywhere. They want it to get in good soil, but they don't have time to just kind of go and place it everywhere. So they just kind of grab and throw it. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road where everybody traveled on, right? And the birds came and ate it up. So some of that seed got tossed and landed on that hard ground or the hard road. So there's no good soil. It's not going in. So the birds come down, they grab that stuff and they go off with the meal. Other seed fell onto rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no growth. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. So the idea here is, before they would throw that out, they would till the land. Are you with me? They would till that land, and that would only go down so deep. Sometimes you would have a patch of rocks that kind of came up with that, or maybe you had a bed of rock too low where they couldn't get to. So that's kind of what's happening here. And so there's no root. It can't really make root. And so then he goes on in verse 7. He said, other seed fell among the thorns, kind of the weedy area, right? And the thorns came up and they choked it and yielded no crop. We're in Tucson. We know what weeds are, right? We know what thorns are. And so I remember living in Kansas City. In Kansas City, it was a big deal. You wanted to keep your yard looking nice, right? It's so funny. We tell our kids, you want to go out and play at the park? And they say, no, we want to go play in the grass, right? They want to be in the grass because we don't have a lot of grass around here, right? And so we would take really good care. Well, we've tried to take really good care of our grass, but it didn't matter what you did in Kansas City, those weeds were going to come up, right? And they're going to take resources from your, I mean, you can kill them, obviously, but they're going to keep coming up. You got to keep after them. They're going to take the resources. They're going to choke the grass out. They're going to make it so that grass can't grow, yielding no crops. So that's kind of what's happening here. Other seeds fell into good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. So this the seed has landed where it was purposed, right? It's going to produce. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus tells them this parable. And by the way, this is a very helpful parable for them because they lived in an agricultural area. That's what they did. They knew a lot about sowing and farming and that type of thing. So this farmer, this sower is spreading the seed. And the goal is that that seed would land in good soil, it would take root, and that it would grow and produce good fruit. Are you guys with me? So that's what's happening here. But Jesus is saying, pay attention to what I'm telling you. He's saying, listen. There's a difference in what happens. The difference in growth from the seed that is cast out is it's resulted from what type of soil it is. Wherever this seed lands, it's going to determine how that grows, right? Some had no growth because of the soil, and some grew and produced much fruit because of good soil. Are you guys with me so far? All right. So Jesus is teaching them, and then he says in verse 10, as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking about the parable. So he taught using this parable. The crowd had gone away, and now Jesus is alone with his disciples, those 12 plus others that were really following him. And they're asking him about this story. They're asking about this parable, and they're saying, man, what was that about? We don't quite get it. What was this about? What's the meaning of this? And he says to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. So he's saying to them, you've been given the mystery. Some of your translations might even say secrets, right? It's not like I'm going to whisper something into your ear. It simply means that a truth is being revealed to you that it was not previously revealed. Jesus is doing that. It's just pretty much what it is. You didn't know it previously, you couldn't understand it, and now you can. Now it can be revealed to you. So he's talking to those that are following him, but those that were on the outside weren't understanding what was happening because of their unbelief. And then verse 13, this is where Jesus begins to explain the parable that he talked about. On the back of your notes, there's a place to take notes if you choose to use that. But verse 13, Jesus begins to explain, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? And then he says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. Now, he's starting to compare the two. I just told you about this farmer casting out seed. Now I'm going to tell you what that means for us spiritually, right? He's about to unpack the meaning of this parable for them. And he does so in verse 14 by identifying the sower and the seed. You see, the sower here is the one tossing out the seed. For us spiritually, the sower is first and foremost Jesus. The sower is Jesus, but it's also believers who proclaim the gospel. Jesus is out sharing the gospel, right? He's calling people to repentance. He's calling them to follow him. He calls us to be fishers of men, right? To share the gospel. He commissions us to go out and share the gospel and tell others about Jesus and his salvation. So the sower here is first and foremost Jesus, right? He's the one doing that. But it's also those that know Christ that are sharing the gospel as well, that proclaim the gospel. And the seed is the gospel, right? The seed is the message of salvation. So Jesus is out spreading the gospel. He's out spreading the message of salvation. He's throwing it out there, casting out the seed, casting out the gospel and the message of salvation for all to hear, right? And I like this, 2 Peter 3:9. I think it just affirms this passage. It says that the Lord is not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Everybody has an opportunity to hear the gospel. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Man, he passes it out. He shares it. We share the gospel, right? Have you ever shared the gospel and somebody just walked away? Are you with me? But they heard the gospel, right? And that's what happens. He wants all to hear the gospel so they have an opportunity to respond. So the gospel is out there for all to hear. It's being spread like the seed is. It's being spread for all to hear because God wants all to come to him. And as followers of Jesus, we share the gospel. Right? Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples, right? So wherever we go, wherever we do life, wherever God sends us, whether it's at our home, at our work, at our school, wherever it is, we share the gospel. Amen, church? That's what we do. Why? So that all can hear, right? So that all can hear. I have recently shared the gospel with someone before, and I'm sitting there talking with them. They said, yeah, I've been saved for a long time. Why didn't you tell me that like 20 minutes ago? I'm sitting there having this conversation, but we want to share the gospel so that all can hear and respond to the gospel and to Jesus. So he says the sower sows the word. The gospel is being cast out for all to hear. And then verse 15 through 20, he's going to describe the soil. Now, I'm going to help you out here. The soil is going to be important. The soil is going to be Jesus' focus from this point on, because the soil is where the seed lands. The gospel's going to be spread. Wherever it lands is why this is important. Depending on the condition of the soil, that will determine what happens with that seed. Are you with me? You toss a seed out onto a road, it's not going to grow, right, Ben? I mean, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I think if you put one out on the road, you're probably not going to get like a palm tree or something out of that, right? And so he's saying wherever that lands, it's important. So the seed is the gospel, the message of salvation, and the soil, church, the soil represents our hearts. The soil represents our hearts. The condition of our hearts, Jesus says, or he is saying, determines what happens with the seed. The condition of your heart and my heart and other people's hearts determines what happens when we hear the gospel and we hear the truth and the message of salvation. And so beginning in verse 15, Jesus describes the conditions of people's hearts. As they hear the gospel and the word of God, when the gospel and the truth and the word of God is spread, when it is proclaimed, it might be preached, right? It might be read, it might be spoken, it might be heard on the radio, wherever that is heard, the heart of a person will determine their response to the gospel. Each of us in here have a heart, and the condition of our hearts determine how we will respond to Jesus. Now, ultimately, first and foremost, in salvation. And then how, when we're sitting here and we hear the word preached or we're studying on our own, right? Our heart will determine how we respond what the word of God is saying. So he goes on to describe people's hearts. Verse 15, here's the first heart condition. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. So church, the first condition that Jesus speaks of is a hard heart. Some hearts are hard. We've been talking about that with the Pharisees, right? We've been talking a lot about that with the Pharisees and others who are hearing Jesus. These Pharisees, their hearts listen, right? They hear, they listen, they question, they doubt, they accuse, they plot against him and his message, and their hearts get harder and harder and harder. And as they do, all they do is reject Jesus and anything he is saying. I can imagine he would say, I'm going to give you $1 million, and they would say, no, thank you, right? I mean, they're like, we're not even going to hear what you're going to say. Jesus is saying that as the gospel and the word of God is spread, there are those that hear it, and immediately, as soon as they hear it, it doesn't take, and Satan snatches that away. Their hearts, church, are resistant and unresponsive to who Jesus is and what he is saying. Have you guys met somebody like that, right? Maybe you guys were that person. Maybe that's you today. One commentator says that this heart causes them to suffer from gospel deafness. They can hear anything else, but when the gospel is presented, they immediately reject it. They dismiss Jesus and his word without giving it any consideration at all. Church, let me be very clear. We're in a spiritual battle. You guys, you're with me on that one? We're in a spiritual battle. Jesus, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, Jesus, or last week, has invaded and is conquering the kingdom and strongholds of Satan. But Satan has little desire to let up easily. You guys realize that, right? Like, he has zero desire to just chill back, you know, get back and chill out and say, okay, Jesus, do your thing. Like, he's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of the gospel. And so I believe, church, that when the gospel is shared, it doesn't matter if you are reading it in the Word of God. It doesn't matter if you're hearing it preached. It doesn't matter if you are hearing it at work or from the mouth of a child or on the radio or how you're hearing it. When the gospel is shared, there is a battle for your heart and for your eternity. Do we get that? Like, there's a battle for your heart and for your eternity every single time that you hear the gospel. Satan wants your heart to remain hard. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you in that place. So when you hear the gospel, if your heart is hard, you will immediately dismiss it. He doesn't want you to hear it and be saved. Think about you on your own. How do you respond to Jesus and the Word of God? And if you immediately dismiss it, if you dismiss Jesus, the Savior of the world, right? He is telling you right now, if you're dismissing the gospel, he's saying your heart is hard. That's what he's saying. If that's you this morning, I just want you to, Jesus is really saying, I need you to hear. I need you to loosen up that heart a little bit, and I need you to hear me. When I was prepping, man, I just stopped. I just stopped prepping when I was covering this part right here, and I just prayed. God, if there's somebody in our church that has a hard heart that's rejecting the gospel, we pray, God, that you would soften that. Are you with me? And there are people that we share the gospel with, and we're like, okay, forget you. You don't want to hear the gospel? No, no, no. Let's pray that God would soften their heart. Are you guys with me, church? That's what's happening here. And so I would pray, if you are here today and your heart is hard, that God would help you with that, that you would stop rejecting and that you would just really listen this morning. So when the word of God, when the gospel is shared, the first heart condition mentioned by Jesus is a hard heart. Verse 16, he talks about the second. In a similar way, this is the second seed, the second time it's tossed out. These are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary, that when affliction or persecution arises of the word, immediately they fall, because of the word, immediately they fall away. Some have hard hearts, some hearts are shallow. Some hearts are shallow. This speaks of a heart that is a little more welcoming. It's not a complete rejection. They hear the word, they hear the gospel and the words of Jesus. They kind of rejoice a little bit with joy. They kind of receive it with joy a little bit. But it's shallow. There's no depth. It's temporary. It's not real. When problems arise, when they are challenged, when they are challenged in their faith, there are no roots to their faith. And let me be very clear. Jesus is in no way talking about somebody losing their salvation. We have the promises of the Word of God, and if you want to talk about that, we can do that at a different time. We have the promises of the Word of God that if we truly trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are His. So He's not talking about someone losing their salvation. He's talking about a person truly being saved. He is not talking about somebody truly being saved and then losing it. Right? He's talking about those that have heard it. They kind of liked what they heard. They saw other people responding to it. They wanted to do something with it, but it wasn't life-changing. It was just a temporary feeling. There was no actual salvation. I remember inviting some friends of mine, and we had an event going on at church, and we had a guest speaker, and we were youth, right? And they came to the church with me, and the gospel was just presented so clearly. And my friends, they get up, and they walk down the aisle. And man, you get excited at that point, right? You're like, woo, way to go, right? And so you're excited about that. Now, let me say this. I in no way am Jesus and can see anybody's heart. Are you guys with me? No, we can't see anybody's heart. Lots of people were walking forward that morning or that afternoon, and it all sounded good, but I always wondered what happened to these two friends and if they actually knew Jesus. And they may, and I hope they do, but here's the thing. When they went back to school and friends started questioning them and really persecution came towards them and they really were challenged in their faith, they just said, you know what, we're out. They moved on. It wasn't part of their life anymore. And so, I'm not God, but really what Jesus is saying here, there should be evidence. Amen? Right, there should be evidence. So Jesus is saying some of those that are following me, Jesus is saying, if you're following me, there are some right now that will seem joyful and all in, but a sure sign that it never really landed, that they were never really received Christ as their Savior because they received it with shallow hearts, will be when they struggle or when challenges to their faith come and they walk away. It wasn't true repentance. It wasn't a true salvation. Are you with me? Then Jesus goes to a third heart condition, verse 18. And others are the ones whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. With this group of people, with this heart, they hear the word, and it appears that they receive it a little bit better, right? A little bit better than the first two. However, they quickly get distracted by worry and wealth and craving other things. So some hearts are hard. Some hearts are shallow, and here some hearts are distracted. So in reality, with this right here, there was a partial commitment. There's a partial commitment here. But remember, here's the reality, church, and this is for us as believers, and if you're here today and say, I haven't trusted Jesus, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't call us to partially follow Him. Somewhere in America, we've come up with that lie. In the Western world, we come up with that lie that we can kind of be Sunday Christians and then worldly the rest of the... Are you with me, church? Man, he calls us to be all in. Amen? Let's try that again. He calls us to be all in, church. Amen? And I know that might not be a common teaching or a popular teaching, right? But it's from the Word of God. It's from the Word of God. In John chapter 8, well, leading up to this, Jesus says, turn from all things and turn to me, right? That's a repentance. John chapter 8, verse 31, we read this. Calling the crowd along with the disciples, he said to them, Jesus is about to teach them. He says, if anyone wants to follow after me, He's going to help them understand the life that he's calling them to. He's saying, if you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciples, if I'm going to be Lord and Savior of your life, if you want to be part of the family of God, if you're going to follow me, let him deny himself. That's what it says. Let him deny himself or herself. Right? Deny the desire of the flesh and of sin. Deny the desires of the world. And it says, take up your cross and follow me. That doesn't sound like partial commitment to me. Are you with me, church? Man, he calls us to be all in. So Jesus again is saying, man, with this seed, you gave me partial commitment when you heard the gospel. But I wasn't really Lord of your life. That's what he's saying. I wasn't really Lord of your life. Other things have your heart. Other things are on the throne of your heart. You didn't really follow me. I'm not really Lord of your life. Matthew 19, we know the story of the rich young ruler. If you haven't heard of that, it's in Matthew chapter 19. It's a rich young man. He walks up. He has authority. He has clout. He has power, right? And he's got the money. He walks up to Jesus, and he says, how can I enter into the kingdom of God? And they talk about some religious things and just being obedient. And then Jesus tells him, he said, okay. Because he gets to see our hearts, right? He says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that money is bad, right? Are you with me? He's not saying that everyone that follows Jesus has to sell everything they have. That's not what he's saying here. Jesus was talking specifically about the condition of this man's heart. Money and possession had this man's heart. Jesus didn't. And Jesus says, with all that you have, I won't really have your heart. You won't really be fully committed. So this person that Jesus is talking about, he hears the gospel. He says, you know what? This guy says, I'm partially in. Or maybe I'm mostly in. But if something else more exciting comes in, I'm gone. Right? If someone offers me money, I'm gone. If there's another thing I can do besides you, Jesus, I'm out. That's that heart. And again, he's not saying these people are losing their salvation. He's saying, I was never your Lord. You never really received me. You never really followed me. You were never really saved. We've got three heart conditions of those that hear from Jesus and hear the gospel so far. The first is a hard heart that rejects the gospel and Jesus. The second is a shallow heart that never really received the gospel. They were open to what they heard, but never really received it. And there's an old saying, there is no fruit where there is no root. You guys ever heard that? And there's no fruit where there's no root. And there was no root here with these people. The third heart condition is a distracted heart. A lot of times these people look the part. They might even feel the part. They might be very religious. But their life and their heart is only partially in. Jesus doesn't have their heart. And here's the thing. When I'm studying this, this is a hard truth. It really is. It's a hard truth to preach. But Jesus says that a true follower of Christ is this. It says it in John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Let me say this. I will stand up here in front of you by the first one to say this. No one is perfect. There's not a person in here that's perfect. You all are probably a whole lot more perfect than I. Are you guys with me? Like, no one is perfect. No one is false. We are going to mess up. But we have got the Holy Spirit that drives us back to Jesus. Amen? We don't lose our salvation if we know Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit that equips us and empowers us, and he convicts our hearts. So we get back to Jesus with that repentant heart, right? We get back at it. Jesus is saying, those with distracted hearts, they never truly believed. They never truly believed. And then the last heart condition is this. Jesus goes into in verse 20. It says, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word, and they accept it, and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So some are hard, some are shallow, some are distracted. But some hearts, when the gospel is shared, when the word of God is spoken, some hearts receive the gospel and the word because their hearts are fruitful. It's good soil. This soil is noticeably different than the first three, right? The receptive heart is noticeably different than the other three. This soil, this heart, represents those that hear the word of God. They receive and trust in the gospel. They accept the word, and then they bear fruit. A fruitful heart hears the word, accepts the word, and bears fruit. Tribulation and hardships come. They're still there. I remember a few years ago watching a video of brothers and sisters in Christ that are chained and handcuffed and in some kind of outfit marching along the road, and people tell them to deny their faith and they don't do it. And you know what they did? They died singing about Jesus. There was no tribulation or hardship that was going to deter them from Jesus. Worries and money and personal desires come, sinful cravings come, disaster or distractions come, and there's no fleeing because it took root. That doesn't mean we walk through it good, right? Sometimes we mess up, right? You guys, anybody else mess up already this morning besides me? Like, right, you with me, right? And so we're going to mess up, but we're there because that root is in us. We've got the Holy Spirit. We're still going to have that battle, but we have the Spirit of God guiding us, convicting us, equipping us, teaching us, and pointing us continually to Jesus, growing us to be like Jesus, right? This heart, this soil, it hears the Word, it believes it, it accepts it, right? It takes root, and then there's growth, right? We're not all the same. We all have different responses, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. There's growth. There's growth. Jesus says in John 15:5, it's amazing how a lot of times we as believers, those that really know Christ, we wonder why we're not growing. We wonder why we're not being impactful for the community, right? Jesus says this, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. He also says in that passage, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Out of John chapter 15, great passage. If there is no growth, if there's no fruit, there's no evidence in your life that you belong to Jesus, Jesus is saying you should check your heart. Because there are people that are following him, that are rejecting him. There are some people that are following him, but as soon as the next cool guy comes along, they're going to go. Are you with me? And there's people that are saying, oh, but if something else comes along that's better than you, or if somebody abuses me or distracts me or whatever it is, I'm gone, Jesus. And Jesus says, do you really know me? Did you really trust me as your Lord and Savior? Are you really saved? Did you really give me your life? Did you really turn away from this and turn to me? That's tough, isn't it? I mean, that's tough. Church, if we belong to Christ, that means we have heard the gospel of Jesus. We received Jesus and his forgiveness. We were saved from our sins, right? We trusted in Jesus for salvation. And Jesus says, excuse me, and when we hear it, it took root, right? And that root causes us to still grow. Jesus says, listen, have ears to hear, be in the Word of God, hear from him, let him teach you, obey what he's telling you. Here it is, church, if we belong to Jesus, we will be fruitful. An apple tree produces apples. Now, you might have an unhealthy apple tree. Maybe we have an unhealthy Christian. Are you with me? Right? All of us, right? A grapevine produces grapes. That was a tough one. I was hoping you guys would get that this morning. I get it. That was tough, but you hadn't, Mike, they didn't go to seminary. I don't know, man. Grapes produce grape. Grape, you get what I'm saying? So, all right. Grape juice. Grape juice sounds good, man. I don't know. A follower of Jesus, church, will be fruitful. We will grow. We will follow him. We will love like him. We will imitate him. We will let him live through us. We will be living in obedience to him. That's what happens. That's what happens. When we are with Jesus and when we belong to Jesus, that's what happens. At home, we have this bowl here, and inside of it is fruit. We have it sitting on our table. I remember when Jessica first got this. She had it out on the table, and we had someone over. And before they left, they went to there, and they grabbed. I didn't break it, babe. I'm good. All right. They grabbed an orange. Looks like a cutie, right? They grabbed an orange. They went to the table. They grabbed it, and as they were walking out, they said, "Hey, Jessica, I just want to let you know I grabbed one of those oranges. I grabbed a cutie off of the table, right? And so I just wanted to grab it before I hit out on the road." And they said, "Thank you." And they started to walk out. Jessica had to go after them and say, "Hey, I'm so sorry. We can get you something else for the road." But that is fake. Right? You ready, Ben? You ready? Okay. That's fake, man. Don't eat it. Okay? It's fake, right? All right. So it's fake. But from here, it looks real, doesn't it? It looks real. It looks very real to that person, especially when they were brand new. It's all shiny and everything. I mean, it made sense, right, that they would grab that thing. We often live our lives living like that. You might be here today and you say, and you know in your heart, man, I look the part. I act the part, but I'm not fully committed to Jesus. I never fully gave my life. I never really made Jesus Lord of my life. I've done the church stuff. I've been religious. I act like a Christian when it's necessary, when I feel like it, but I'm really like that plastic fruit. And you might say, today I am hearing Jesus for the first time because my heart is being opened to that. It's being softened. And I'm really hearing Him and I want the real deal. I don't want to be the fake fruit anymore. I've been fake long enough. I don't want to stand on my deathbed or sit on my deathbed or lay on my deathbed and cross my fingers and just hope that Jesus will be gracious enough to save me because He has offered gracious or His grace and His salvation to you already. Are you with me, church? If your heart has been hard or shallow or distracted, and you've been this fake fruit, man, let's just own up to that and say, Jesus, soften my heart. I can hear You. I want to hear You this morning. We'll give you a chance to respond to that. If you're here today and you could say, you know what? There is no doubt that I'm a follower of Jesus. There's no doubt that I gave my life to Christ, that I'm saved, and that I will be with Him for eternity. The question for us might be, are you growing? Right? Are we growing? Are you living a life that Jesus has called you to? Are you fruitful? There are many that hear Jesus, and when we and we know that with Jesus, we have to respond to Him. We say that all the time at church. When we open up the Word of God, man, we've got to respond to the Word of God. When Jesus speaks, we have to respond to Jesus. And if you haven't responded to Him for the first time today, man, we're going to give you that opportunity. Will you reject Him with that hard heart? Will we just hear and not really follow Him? Maybe with a shallow or distracted or a hard heart. Or will you hear and really hear Jesus? And have a fruitful heart. And as Christians, church, let's give this. This is talking about the soil and the heart when the gospel is shared. But we got a lot to learn from this. Because as believers, when's the last time we were in the Word of God? When's the last time we heard the Word of God preached and we actually responded to it? When was the last time we shared, and I'm talking to myself too, when's the last time we looked like Jesus? Are we being fruitful? Jesus says, I need you all in. I need all of you to follow Me. I need every bit of you to be after Me. Let's give evidence in our life that we truly belong to Jesus. There's a song out there with these lyrics that says this. Is there evidence that I've been changed? He's talking about He's a believer. He's saying, is there evidence in my life that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see You, Jesus? That's a question I like to ask all the time. God, when people see me, do they see Jesus? Because if I'm the focus, they're in trouble. It's not about seeing me. It's about seeing Jesus and responding to Him. I want to live like that. Are you with me, church? Man, if we're Christians here today, man, we have the responsibility to sow that seed. Are you with me, church? That's not from Pastor Jeff. That's from the Word of God. That's from Jesus' lips. Be His witnesses. Be His ambassadors. Go and make disciples. If you're sitting here today and you've had a hard heart or a shallow heart or a distracted heart and you say, you know what, I've been doing the fake fruit thing for a very long time, but I would like to be the real thing. I would really like to know Jesus and follow Him today. I'm just going to ask you, man, I'm going to ask the church to kind of close their eyes, but I just want you guys to hear me clearly. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He put He put your sin on Him. And He took that. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. He died for you. And then guess what happens? On the third day, He rose again for you. There's a Jesus that loves you. And He's calling you to repent. That means turn away from your sin. Turn away from the way that you're doing life. Turn away from you being Lord of your life and follow Jesus. And He's saying, I need you all in. That's what He's saying. A full commitment from you. Let's pray.